KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have light rain here in Atlantic. It's 59 degrees. So far, we picked up 1.39 inches of rainfall. That includes 15 one-hundredths over the past hour. We look for showers and occasional thunderstorms today at a high of 65. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. In local news, Atlantic School District Superintendent Steve Barber said Wednesday that because the Department of Education agreed with another company to handle the certified enrollment data each school in the state is responsible for completing, and which also drives the funding mechanism, the district had not received the file from the state to certify their latest enrollment.
We just looked today, 186 out of 327 schools have received their certified enrollment document. We're one of the ones that have not received it yet. This is supposed to be due next Tuesday, and here we haven't even received it yet, so we won't have any official numbers, but to best of our knowledge, our enrollment will be about the same, about 0.9 of a student more, which unlike last year, we were, I believe, down 23.8, something like that.
Open enrolled in numbers are down 2.5 students from 2018, and open enrolled out is up 3.4%, or up 3.4%, or 3.4 students, I should say. In other news, Barber said the Washington parking lot was nominated for an award by the statewide concrete organization. Their members visited Atlantic Wednesday and are comparing the project to others nominated within the state to determine the award winners.
We're pretty excited. We remain excited about the process that we put in place. It seems to be working real well, or I haven't heard any complaints that it wasn't working well. So really a great addition to that area for us, and it's saved us a lot of headaches.
Superintendent Barber said also some members of the Atlantic media are sponsoring a school board candidate forum. The event will be held 7 p.m. Monday, October 28th in the Atlantic Middle School Auditorium. In the Atlantic School District, five people are running for one at-large seat on the school board: Mark Fagan, Nicholas Hunt, Laura McLean, incumbent Jenny Williams, and Benjamin Winford. A Creston man was arrested late Tuesday morning for driving while revoked. Creston police said yesterday 43-year-old Kevin Cavan was arrested in the 200 block of North Elm and later released from the Union County Jail on a $1,000 bond. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office yesterday said 18-year-old Reese Brian Carver was arrested a little after 1 a.m. Wednesday for OWI first offense following an investigation into a suspicious vehicle in Council Bluffs. Tuesday night, 54-year-old William Dean McKnight of Omaha was arrested in Council Bluffs for public intoxication, third or subsequent offense. 47-year-old Carl John Schmidt of Council Bluffs was arrested Tuesday after he turned himself in on a violation of parole warrant. And there were four other people that were transported from the Douglas County, Nebraska jail to the Pott County Jail on Tuesday to answer to warrants in Pott County. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers reports one of his officers was injured during a violent confrontation Tuesday night following an attempt at around 9:30 p.m. to stop a bicycle being operated after dark with no lighting. The bicyclist, identified as 56-year-old Kevin Dwayne Hoyt of Clarinda, failed to obey the order to stop and fled from officers. Hoyt got off the bike and entered a liquor store at 900 East Washington Street in Clarinda. A violent struggle occurred inside the business between Hoyt and the officers, and several $1,000 worth of inventory was destroyed. One officer sustained injuries to his forehead and nose during the struggle and was taken to the Clarinda Regional Health Center for treatment of injuries. That officer was treated and released. He is expected to return to duty in 2 to 3 days. Hoyt was charged with felony assault on a police officer, possession of methamphetamine, fourth-degree destruction of property, and interfering with official acts of a police officer. He was being held in the Page County Jail on $8,300 bond. An investigation into an incident that took place at around 4:30 a.m. Wednesday in Red Oak resulted in the arrest later that morning of 39-year-old Rose Amber Eppenbaugh of Red Oak. She was taken into custody on a charge of aggravated domestic abuse assault and was being held in the Montgomery County Jail without bond. Police in Glenwood yesterday said that 21-year-old Alex Lorenroth was arrested for OWI first offense on Wednesday. He since posted bond and was released. On Tuesday, 21-year-old Connor Thompson of Council Bluffs was arrested in Glenwood for possession of a controlled substance second offense and possession of drug paraphernalia. He was taken into custody at the Fremont County Sheriff's Office for violation of probation. His total bond on the charges amounts to $2,300. Authorities in Union County said yesterday a woman from Lorimore had reported back on September 23rd that sometime that morning someone entered her home and took two guns. Well, this past Sunday, the same woman reported that the missing guns were identified as a 30-30 Glenfield rifle and a model 1895 GBL 4570 rifle with a scope. Those guns were valued at $950. Elsewhere in state news, the Iowa Court of Appeals says the Sioux City Human Rights Commission may sue the owners of rental properties for housing discrimination for rejecting renters with disabilities who asked to keep companion animals in their homes. In a decision filed Wednesday, a three-judge panel concluded the city and its Civil Rights Commission have standing to sue for violations of the law under the Iowa Civil Rights Act. The city first sued James W. Boyd Revocable Trust and its trustees, James Boyd and Jennifer Boyle, in March of 2017, claiming they violated the law by denying reasonable accommodation of a disability. The city seeks a court order to stop the practice, civil penalties, and punitive damages. The city says applicants for rentals were told that no animals were allowed in 2014 and again in 2016. A judge dismissed the lawsuit in March of last year, finding the commission was not an aggrieved person eligible to sue under Iowa law. The Iowa Appeals Court judges applied the federal discrimination law definition, which allows local civil rights commission to directly litigate discrimination concerns, and they sent the case back to the district court for trial. Well, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is entering the final phase in approving a plan for Mid-American Energy to help prevent a number of bats and eagles killed by its current and future wind farms. Fish and Wildlife spokesman Craig McPeak said the final plan is now available for public comment following an earlier public hearing.
We've taken those comments that we received from that public commenting period last spring, incorporated changes, edits, and updates into the document, and now it's going back out for a final 30-day review for the public.
Beek says there are around 100 comments in the spring.
Kind of can group them into categories. It's just an overall displeasure with a permit that would allow for the taking of bald eagles and bats, and then another group of comments about just appreciative of the data-driven approach that we use to inform the plan, and then others commenting on ways that we may be able to improve the permitting process into the future.
The plan would issue a permit to allow for a limited number of deaths of 4 bat species and 10 turbine-related incidental bald eagle deaths each year. Bats covered by the permit include the federally endangered Indiana bat and the federally threatened northern long-eared bat, the non-endangered little brown bat, and tricolored bat. McPeak says Mid-American has agreed to take some measures that would cut down on the number of deaths of each of those species.
They're going to feather their blades below their cut-in speeds where they begin to produce electricity. That's been proven to reduce impacts to bats. Working with landowners and county road commissions to be sure that roadkill deer are not left, and carcasses left to attract bald eagles, which could bring them in contact with turbine.
McPeak says the company has set a number of eagles and bats that can be killed, and they will pay for habitat improvements designed to replace those animals.
They will mitigate to create areas for bats to breed and create more bats and or protect and breed more bald eagles in the wild.
McPeak says there are still some things that are not known about the impact of wind turbines, but Mid-American has taken a lot of time to analyze the information available to come up with the best plan.
They've spent almost 5 years now collecting information on their existing wind farms to inform this plan, and we've combined that information with information from across the greater Midwest. And so, yeah, we do have, nearly a decade of information that, help us make these decisions.
And he says if they find out what they're doing is leading to more deaths than expected, they have to take more action.
There's what we call an adaptive management strategy, and so the company will be monitoring annually to determine if the number of animals killed is what we had expected or if it was greater or lesser. And then we have adaptive management triggers in that plan that if they do begin to exceed what the expected number of fatalities were, there are measures that they need to take to bring that back down.
He says this is a little bit like the process when electric lines started going up and changes were made to keep animals from getting killed on them. He says the work continues on solutions.
This company and many other companies are working on ways to keep bats and eagles away from turbines. There's some deterrent technologies that can kind of scare them away. There's different things that they can do, similar to insulation on power lines, to keep them from keeping bald eagles from being electrocuted. There's some things that can be done that kind of can scare them away from wind farms.
McPeak says you can view a copy of the plan online. Paper copies will be available at 22 county libraries in Iowa. A final order on the plan will be issued after the 30-day comment period. As a check of the news on KJAN, I'm Rick Hansen reporting.